It's Awards Wednesday here on Kate Radio. Every Wednesday, we catch up with our good friend Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network and talk about the week that was in Timberwolves basketball. Cal, a good afternoon, like always. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, of course. Happy to join you, Aaron.
Well, let's jump right into it. Last night, the late one. I'll be honest with you, that was past my bedtime. Anytime they start at 9 o'clock, I usually watch about a half, and that's about it. Phoenix Suns, we know, a team that's going to contend for an NBA title. They beat the Wolves last night 116-107. 4-4 on the season. Now, before the season began, I looked at the first eight games, and the potential was there to be 7-1. I thought this was the one game that they were going to lose in their first eight. It hasn't been what I would call... What's the word I'm looking for? And I think we expected this. It just hasn't been the flow. The flow to, especially the first team, hasn't been where I think Timberwolves fans were hoping it would be. And that showed again last night. I know Rudy Gobert only had 7 points, maybe a 9 rebounds. I don't think he had a bucket from the field. They were all from the free throw line. It's going to take time. I understand that. But how much patience, Cal, should Timberwolves fans have with especially the first team? The second team, they were awesome last night. They kind of kept the team in the game. But the first team, when it comes to the flow on both sides of the ball, help me preach patience to Timberwolves fans, including myself.
Yeah, it hasn't been smooth or consistent. You know, there have been flashes from that first unit, and we've seen the potential really both offensively and defensively, but you're right. They're just kind of searching right now, still searching for more chemistry, more just kind of connectedness on both ends. You know, their turnover numbers are high. I think we maybe just underestimated. You know, we heard from the coaching staff and the players that it was going to take time, especially with no one really getting a lot of minutes together during the preseason. You know, they were going to need to feel things out as the season got started. And we heard that messaging. And I wonder if we just didn't have the full grasp of how long it would kind of take for these guys to build up chemistry. And I think maybe we underestimated kind of the style of basketball that they're trying to play when Rudy Gobert is on the floor with most of those other starters. You know, it is more of a throwback half court offense. Use Rudy either as a screener for pick and rolls with D'Angelo Russell. I think they're just kind of trying to find that right balance of still moving the basketball, still trying to keep defenses guessing a little bit, but also still, you know, they're getting touches for Rudy. They've said a lot about how they felt like he was underutilized in Utah with his skill set. We've seen Karl Anthony Towns as a playmaker a lot more to start this season in terms of finding his teammates, finding Rudy especially. And I think, you know, that everyone's just kind of adjusting to that. Even guys who were teammates last year, like Ant and D'Lo and Kat and Jaden, they're adjusting to playing that different style, running different plays, and just kind of what their priorities are, the points of emphasis are when they're out there. So I think maybe we underestimated how much the adjustment would take, and really all you can do is continue to get minutes together.
Here's the weird thing I see through eight games, Cal, is we did have some changes, you know, besides Rudy Gobert, Austin Rivers and others have joined the Timberwolves team. But none of the new additions, unless I missed a game or two where maybe they had a bigger impact, but none of the new additions for the most part have had an impact compared to guys that have already been with the team. You know, Jalen Nowell has been great off the bench. Naz Reid had one game where he did not play, and I think a head coach Chris Finch has showed that was a mistake because Naz has been really good the last couple of times out. I just haven't seen the biggest impact yet from the new additions. And we know we picked up some talent. There's no doubt about that. But it's been the guys that were here last year, especially those bench guys that, in my opinion, have had the most success so far through eight games.
Yeah, I think with guys like Kyle Anderson and Austin Rivers, they've dealt with injuries. And, you know, Kyle Anderson has only been available, I think last night was really the first opportunity we saw him play extended minutes in a game. He exited a game very early in the first week of the season with back spasms, and those then kept him out for the next I think, at least two or three games. So he was kind of working back in from that. Austin Rivers dealt with another just sort of nagging injury, but he was back out there. Last night was kind of his third game where he got a little bit of burn. But, yeah, the figuring out the rotations have been a challenge for the head coach and his coaching staff, in the sense that you have seen that second unit play well. You mentioned Naz Reid. You know, he was one of the guys out there during a rally last Sunday in that loss to the Spurs, where they kind of cut into the deficit and it was getting into the fourth quarter, and the coaching staff had to make some decisions on, all right, do we get the starters back in there that have mostly played poorly, or do we let it ride with the second unit that's making a run? And I think everything I just said in terms of how the starters are trying to play and what they're trying to get to offensively, it completely flips when that second unit comes in. And even, you know, the lineup combinations are mixed and matched. It's not always just the starting five and then the second five, like you see in a hockey line change. But when Jordan McLaughlin's out there and when Naz Reid is out there, and really when Rudy's off the floor, they're looking to run a lot more. And Jordan McLaughlin is basically the opposite of D'Angelo Russell in terms of how he plays that point guard position. He's always looking to move the ball. Doesn't do a lot of extended dribbling or holding of the basketball. He, you know, he does not have the skill set that D'Lo has in terms of the jump shooting ability and ability to create his own shots. So it's really kind of two different offenses that we see when those lineups change. And I think that's what the coaching staff is just kind of feeling out, is, all right, when should we go to the second unit to push the pace, and who fits well on the floor with Jordan McLaughlin? We've seen Anthony Edwards kind of come alive offensively when he's been out there with some second unit guys. So it's a lot of, you know, this happens every year in terms of the last couple of years. We've been able to talk about the Wolves having a little more depth than they had in previous seasons, and you sometimes get some tough decisions. I mean, Bryn Forbes, he is an accomplished 3-point shooter. He won a ring with Milwaukee, and they've just struggled to find him a ton of minutes in terms of what's working lineup wise. So they've had tough decisions when everyone is healthy, or mostly everyone's healthy. And I think that will continue to be the case as they try to get everyone to build some chemistry together.
Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network joining us here for a Wolves Wednesday. And on the positive side, and I noticed this, you know, and I watch or listen to pretty much every Minnesota Timberwolves game, the talent is there. And for those that already are hitting the panic button and regretting the Rudy Gobert trade, you look at this roster, and you just mentioned the depth that Minnesota has compared to other teams. There is so much talent on this team. This team can be one of the top teams in the NBA. It's just kind of a process of getting everybody on the same page. And a lot of times when I watch games, I see D'Lo and Rudy Gobert talking a lot out there. I see a lot of guys having conversations, and you can tell they're frustrated because they're not getting into that great flow as of yet. I thought one thing that was funny last night, and you probably heard the comment from Anthony Edwards. I think they were interviewing Jordan McLaughlin, and he was trying to finish an answer to one of his questions, and Anthony Edwards had the score sheet, and it hit him that the guys on the bench were in the positives and the starters were in the negatives when it comes to being on the court, and he just said, we're going to fix that. We're going to sound like a broken record, Cal, but you got to keep preaching patience with this team, don't you?
Yeah, that was in last night's press conference setting. Both J-Mac and Ant kind of met the media together. And yeah, J-Mac was in the process of answering a question, and Ant kind of grabbed the box score and took a look at it. And, you know, all five starters had awful plus-minus numbers in terms of what the opponents were able to do in building leads with those five guys on the floor. Whereas the bench guys, like we said, they were able to cut into those deficits and get the Wolves back into the game. So those plus-minus numbers were a lot better for J-Mac and a lot of those guys. And, you know, it goes back to turnovers. It goes back to lack of ball movement. All that stuff kind of feeds into each other when if you've got a guy like Anthony Edwards who tries to go ISO and take his defender off the dribble or pull up for a three, and either you turn the ball over, drive into the lane, or if you miss that three and it results in a long rebound, then you have to get back in transition. And obviously the Suns or really any good NBA team that wants to push the ball, it's really hard to slow them down once they're getting out on the break. So all of those issues are areas the Wolves have dealt with. But like you said, the talent's there. These guys, they haven't really seemed to kind of reach for that panic button. They knew that this was going to be a process. Rudy Gobert has preached patience. I think the fact that he and Kat and D'Lo and Ant are all students of the game, and that includes Jaden McDaniels too. They all want to put in the time, watch the extra film. They said they had a great practice on Monday leading into last night's game. So it feels like they're closer than maybe we would think. And I think we do tend to overreact to these first couple weeks of games in the season, and we want to assume that whatever we're seeing is going to be the case for the length of the year. But that's just not how it is. It's a four-month grind. The Utah Jazz are probably not going to be a top three or four seed in the Western Conference. I don't think the LA Clippers are going to be as bad as they've started. I mean, there's just weird things sometimes in the NBA. We look at this Wolves team last year. They started 4-9, and you want to talk about reaching for the panic button. I mean, they looked completely lost last year, and that's what prompted that closed-door Pat Beverly meeting with the team where he asked every single player to verbally kind of identify their role on the team. And then that's when things started to pick up and guys kind of got more comfortable doing what they needed to do to get wins. So I think it is early. There's certainly a reason to be frustrated, either from the players that haven't got it to click yet, or even the fans that probably wanted the team to start faster with this schedule. But at the same time, this was always, when you make that Gobert trade and then get only limited time together on the floor in the training camp and preseason, this was always going to be a work in progress. And really the only way to see kind of sustained progress and building that chemistry is to have those guys on the floor together, even if at times it's painful to watch.
Team Wolves have dropped two in a row. Again, 116-107 loss to Phoenix last night. Wolves Wednesday with Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. We'll hear from Cal tomorrow on the pregame show starting at 8:30 as the T-Wolves have a couple of games at home this weekend. The Milwaukee Bucks coming up on Friday night, so a couple nights away. On Friday night, Timberwolves and the Bucks. Then Saturday, the Timberwolves will take on the Rockets. Bucks right now 6-0. The Rockets are 1-7. Always a tough game against Giannis. Cal, give me your thoughts about the two opponents coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I think they're both interesting matchups for different reasons. Obviously, you know, we know the Phoenix Suns. We know how good they were last year, best record in the league. They looked like a well-oiled machine and then had that abrupt exit, that Game 7 loss at home against the Mavs. But they picked up right back where they left off in terms of how good they look. They beat the Wolves in just kind of workmanlike fashion. And it won't get any easier for Minnesota in terms of Friday night's matchup. You mentioned the Bucks are undefeated. They probably will remain undefeated. They play the Pistons tonight at home. They'll be heavily favored in that matchup. And Giannis is just, he's a terror in terms of trying to slow him down defensively. It'll be pretty fascinating to watch what the Wolves try to do defensively with Rudy Gobert and make things difficult for the Bucks. But they, like a lot of teams, they have that personnel that can spread you out. And if they get hot from three, the Wolves will have to make some adjustments. And so, defensive rotations, contesting shots, and then on offense, ball movement, limiting those turnovers, all those things that have kind of been continued problem areas. Watch those areas closely on Friday night in a really tough test against the Bucks. And then the other reason I think Saturday is interesting, the Rockets are near the bottom of the Western Conference standing. They have not started their season hot like maybe the Thunder or the Jazz or the Spurs. But it's still the second end of a back-to-back, and one of the worst, if not the worst, loss of the season so far for Minnesota came in that Spurs game when the Wolves played the night before in Oklahoma City and then had to get right back in action 24 hours later. Anthony Edwards was really bad. He spoke after the game about how he struggled getting up in the second end of a back-to-back and said that he would fix that and get better at that. So I think it's the first opportunity for the Wolves to kind of put in play and put on display what they learned from that really poor effort in a blowout loss to the Spurs on a second end of a back-to-back. So that's what I'll be watching on Saturday, is kind of how they come out of the gates. It's an interesting deal, too, because Friday's a 9 p.m. tip-off, nationally televised ESPN game, and then Saturday's a 7 o'clock tip. So literally less than 24 hours later, you're right back at it starting another game. So the Wolves' effort and their energy right out of the gate Saturday will be something to watch closely.
Again, we'll have that game on Friday. Cal Soderquist again with you, Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. Pregame at 8:30. Al Horton, of course, the voice of the Wolves, with the call with the tip-off just after 9 o'clock. And again, the T-Wolves at home against Houston on Saturday. That game starts at 7. Cal, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully we're talking about a team that's above 500 coming up next Wednesday. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, Aaron. Always enjoy our chats, and agreed. Let's get some W's.